Welcome to From the Top, where outstanding young musicians come to play. I'm your host, Peter Dugan, so happy to be with you today to celebrate our beautiful planet Earth with some otherworldly performances by our posse of talented and accomplished young musicians. We just heard 18-year-old oboist Minu Jang playing the third movement of the Collision Etudes by contemporary American composer Alyssa Morris. The piece is entitled Jimsonweed, based on a painting by Georgia O'Keeffe. What a wonderful and apt way to begin our celebration of Earth Day at From the Top. Our show today is meant to embrace and pay our respects to Mother Earth and the inspiration she has offered composers, musicians, and artists of all ilks throughout time. Let's meet 18-year-old oboist now, Minu Jang from Bellevue, Washington, who just performed Jimsonweed, the third movement of the Collision Etudes by contemporary American composer Alyssa Morris. Thank you so much, Minu, for being with us today.
Thank you.
Hearing the oboe unaccompanied like that is such a beautiful way to get in touch with the sounds of nature. As you played, I heard water, I heard birds. It was just full of life. Tell me a little bit about this very special piece.
These etudes are based around works by female American painters. Mm-hmm. And so this one is based on Jimsonweed by Georgia O'Keeffe, a beautiful flower painting, larger than life. So it's definitely inspired by nature.
Tell me a little bit about how the image of these flowers, or in this case, Jimsonweed, how does that inform your playing of the piece?
The painting, the colors definitely of Georgia O'Keeffe's work have come to inspire the way that I sort of envision this image of flowing shapes and colors that go into like the runs that I play.
Yeah, nice sense of line, and it is bright, it's vibrant. Tell me a little bit about this plant, the Jimsonweed.
Jimsonweed, it's a kind of thorny, even a little poisonous plant, but with these beautiful white flowers.
Yeah, I wonder if Alyssa Morris was aware of that, because even though so much of the piece is just beautiful and warm, there is this hint of danger that I detect.
Yeah, I think in the middle section, there are parts where it goes into a sort of minor, lurking, mysterious mood.
Would you actually play a little bit of that passage for us?
Sure.
Yeah, I really loved that moment in the performance. Thanks for calling that to our attention.
Thank you.
Today, we're celebrating Earth Day. What does it mean to you to celebrate the natural world? Is that something you include in your daily life somehow?
Yeah. I grew up in Missouri in the Midwest. I have memories of playing in my dad's garden or making nature soup with my sister, which was birch tree bark and dandelion flowers and pine needles, and just seeing the stars at night. I grew up with a lot of that connection to nature. Having moved to a city, the experience is completely different. One thing that I do is volunteer with a community garden in the summers. So I try to keep in touch with nature, but also with a community of people who feel connected to that.
Oh, I love that. Minu, have you done any non-musical advocacy for the environment in any way?
I write for my school newspaper, and I wrote a piece about sustainability at my school and how our school's endowment and investments have interfaced with sustainability and whether the school is using its money for good.
You're looking at some of the big issues and then calling it to the attention of your community. I commend you for that.
Thank you.
What do you see for your future, Minu?
I'm looking at data science and environmental science and music as well.
Wow. I'd love to hear a bit about how you got started on the oboe and like a brief account of your musical journey.
Yeah, I picked up the oboe at the end of fourth grade, just at a local music and arts store. It was actually my mom who helped me get there. We were listening to classical radio in the car, and she asked me, do you want to try any of these instruments? And I just picked the oboe. So that's sort of where I got started. And I had the chance to join my youth orchestra at the start of fifth grade. I started, you know, last chair in the lowest level of the orchestra.
That's where it starts.
Yeah.
So you're in Bellevue, Washington now, right? Outside of Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
You grew up where?
Columbia, Missouri.
How old were you when you moved and what was that shift like?
I moved when I was entering fourth grade. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty big shift to go from a small town to a much bigger city to be uprooted. It was a big change, but it was also a lot of opportunity to try new things and meet new people.
Yeah. And what do you think got you through the challenge of that move?
I would say that I took a lot of things with me. I continued to play music and joining my community garden, we rented out a plot for our family to grow crops in. That was one thing that I got to hold over from my time in Missouri to sort of remember my roots.
That's really cool. And shout out to all the folks who organize and help maintain those kinds of community gardens. Manu, thank you so much for sharing your story with me today and sharing that performance with all of our listeners. It was just beautiful.
Thanks for having me.
18-year-old oboist Manu Jang from Bellevue, Washington. Let's meet our next young soloist, 16-year-old pianist Julia Joe from Boxborough, Massachusetts, who is already warmed up and seated on the piano bench. Julia, hey, welcome back to From the Top.
Hi, thank you. It's great to be back.
How long has it been since you were last on From the Top?
Well, that was pre-COVID for sure.
Pre-COVID.
2019?
Making you would have been...
4.5 years.
Right, so you
I was 11.
Yes. Wow. What stands out to you looking back on that?
Well, okay, that was the first time I had ever been more than 10 minutes away from my parents, probably.
Do you remember what you named as one of your aspirations on the show?
I believe it was something space related.
Yeah. What you said on the show was that you wanted to be the first person to play live music in space.
Oh, I remember that. Okay. I was having a space phase at that time.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, cool. We're going to bring a piano and we're going to go to space.
Well, Julia, what are you going to be sharing with our listeners today for this special From the Top Earth Day celebration?
I'll be playing 3 movements from Tan Dun's 8 Memories in Watercolor. The first movement called Missing Moon. The 7th titled Floating Clouds, and the final 8th movement called Sun Rain.
And briefly, is there anything in particular that you want our audiences to be listening for or imagining as they listen?
I would encourage the audience to maybe think about how these sounds you're going to hear might stray away from classical Western European music influences.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, think about how it might tie into nature.
Great. Well, whenever you're ready, Julia, take it from the top. We just heard 16-year-old Julia Zhou perform three movements of Tan Dun's Eight Memories in Watercolor. The Chinese-American composer, who has won nearly every music award there is also known for his Grammy and Academy Award-winning score of Ang Lee's film Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Julia, thank you for that performance.
It's an honor.
That is such a great piece to demonstrate the full expressive range of the piano. Talk about your approach to this piece.
I started this piece, it's been like nearly a decade. I learned this for some competition that required a post-1950s contemporary piece.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's a piece that comes from my culture, and it was a piece my parents recognized, and it's like very prevalent in my community.
Were your parents born in China?
Yes.
Okay, I see.
This composer is probably one of the most prominent Chinese-American composers.
Right.
And it was premiered in Carnegie Hall.
By Long Long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of the most popular pianists.
For sure.
In terms of like pop culture.
So the music was familiar.
Yeah, for sure. The fourth movement called Blue Nun, that one is especially tied, I think, to Chinese folk songs.
Have you played all of the eight pieces over the years?
Yes. Some of them more shakily than others. But the first and last, Missing Moon and Sun Rain, those are like classics for me.
Mm-hmm.
I include them in basically every set.
Well, clearly the composer elicits the notion of nature as muse that's intrinsic to Eastern music and Western classical music. I'm wondering, in what ways is the natural world a part of your life?
I live in a town that's fairly in the wilderness, if you will. So I get to see a lot of nature. Like the other day I was sitting on my porch. This big brown owl flew down and just sat on top of my potted plant.
You're making me really jealous because I'm a big bird enthusiast.
Yeah.
you obviously are surrounded by mm-hmm. nature just every because day. Of where you live. Have you done anything in your own life to sort of advocate for the protection of nature?
Well, I'm part of an organization called Project 351. There's 351 towns and or cities in the state. And
in the state of Massachusetts?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't realize
And there's that. One eighth grader picked from each of these towns and cities. And we all come together
wow.
and we advocate for all sorts of different things. I'm in Region 6, specifically Middlesex County. We've got a lot of parks there and a lot of trash in these parks. So we're going to go clean those up. And
cool.
then permitting, we'll mm-hmm. be planting some flowers.
Nice. So aside from repertoire, what are you focusing on in your own practice?
I've discussed this with other young musicians as well, but we've always been told to strive for perfection.
Mm.
And I think that's hard both physically and mentally when you care so much about music. That's like your friend you've had every single day, right? It's like very hard to separate your opinion of yourself
mm.
and how well you play, how well you compete, how well you perform. And so I think that getting away from always needing perfection is pretty great. Sometimes I'll just read a piece, play with it for a couple of weeks, and then set it aside because I want to play it and not because there's a competition that needs a
yeah.
sonata and I'm going to play a sonata.
Do you have a favorite musical accomplishment or moment mm. when you look back?
I remember I was playing the second Chopin ballade. That opening is the hardest thing you'll ever play for no reason. I remember just playing that once and it was just so good. It was probably like 10, 11 o'clock at night. I had like no business playing that, but like the feeling was right.
Yeah.
Like the piano felt correct under my fingers.
Mm.
And for a lot of my pieces, I can like identify a single instance of that.
And for those who don't know the second ballade of Chopin, it starts in a way that's not technically
right.
difficult
it's,
at all. It's very okay. simple. It's like a folk tune.
Yeah. Like... Right, there's nothing there that's
right,
technically
but
challenging. But
that can be the most difficult thing of all.
It, yeah.
How do you just sing a song
exactly
on the piano?
Yeah,
Julia, thank you so much for coming back to From the Top mm-hmm. and for sharing that amazing performance.
Thank you.
16-year-old pianist Julia Joe from Boxborough, Massachusetts, whose appearance on From the Top is sponsored by an anonymous donor.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from the Jack Kent Cooke Foundation. The Jack Kent Cooke Young Scholars Program provides pre-college scholarships for high-performing seventh-grade students with financial need. jkcf.org. From Jarl and Pamela Moan, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts. And from Imaginable Futures, celebrating the hard work, commitment, and achievements of the 1 in 5 college students who are parents. More at imaginablefutures.com.
Classical composers have always been inspired by the sights and sounds of nature. Schubert's ability to capture the babbling of a brook in his piano writing, or Messiaen's more scientific cataloging of bird calls come to mind. Let's meet our next young musician, composer and pianist 16-year-old Winston Schneider from Omaha, Nebraska, who might be able to shed some light on the ways in which composers now are responding to our relationship with the natural world. Winston, welcome to From the Top.
Thank you.
What piece of yours are we going to hear today?
Yes, so you're going to hear a piece called Salt Creek Tiger Beetle Quintet. It's about an insect called the Salt Creek Tiger Beetle. It's a very endangered species. The only place in the world it's found is in my home state of Nebraska. And it'll be performed by Jenna Ferdin on violin, Jessica Hansen also on violin, Jesse Griggs on the viola, Ruth Mainz also on viola, and Tim Strang on cello.
Great. Well, I'm so excited to hear this. And when did you compose this piece, Winston?
I believe it was in the summer of 2021.
So it's coming up on its third birthday. Here we go. The first movement of the Salt Creek Tiger Beetle Quintet, composed by 16-year-old Winston Schneider. Thank you. We just heard the first movement of the Salt Creek Tiger Beetle Quintet, composed by 16-year-old Winston Schneider. Jenna Ferdin and Jessica Hansen on violin, Jesse Griggs and Ruth Mainz on viola, and Tim Strang on cello. Winston, your piece is amazing. I really enjoyed listening to it so much. Can you tell me a little bit about the beetle muse that inspired you to write this piece?
Tiger beetles in general are some of the fastest insects in the world. I've read somewhere that if they were the size as humans, they would be able to run at around 450 miles per hour.
So running.
It's just incredible. The Salt Creek tiger beetle is an endangered species, and the only place in the world that it is found is in the Salt Creek, which is actually right in my home state of Nebraska. The Henry Dorley Zoo, which is the zoo here in Omaha, it's one of the best in the world, actually. They're doing some great conservation work helping to sustain the Salt Creek tiger beetle population. When I was 8, I actually got to take a tour of the zoo's labs, and I got to see the work that they were doing. That definitely played a role in helping inspire this piece.
What role do tiger beetles play in their own ecosystem?
Yeah, so all tiger beetles are predaceous. They prey mainly on other insects and arthropods, so they might eat other pesky insects like flies, crickets, mosquitoes, other pests like that.
Love the tiger beetles. If I didn't love them already, now knowing that they eat mosquitoes, I love them even more. Have you ever seen a Salt Creek tiger beetle in the wild?
So it was last year when I was at a place called Platte River State Park. It's one of my favorite places to catch insects. I have a three-step process, which is catch, study, release. And I caught a couple of tiger beetles. One of them was a six-spotted tiger beetle, which I actually have another piece called Six-Spotted Tiger Beetle Quartet. My goal actually is to create a whole series of tiger beetle chamber pieces.
Wow. Do you remember when the love of insects and small creatures began for you?
Yeah, so I think it was, I believe, age 5 when I started to really, really love these insects. There was like this green space right across from our house, and we nicknamed it Dandelion Park because in the spring it would always get these yellow dandelions. And I would go and catch these butterflies, mainly the yellow cloudless sulfur ones, but there were also a few cabbage whites as well. And I wrote a solo flute piece a couple of years ago about the one time I went over there when I didn't catch any butterflies. And I remember my mom kept telling me we had to go, and I was absolutely devastated. It was the one time I walked away with an empty insect container.
Man, Winston, this is reminding me of, well, I was in Maine with my family. So I thought, I'm in Maine, I'm going to see a moose. And I was probably around the age that you're describing yourself at back then. And we went this whole week and didn't see a moose. I remember that heartbreak of like, the natural world has to have something to give me. And of course, as we get older, we learn that the natural world is not there to serve us, but we have to take care of it. Going back to your piece for a moment, I was hearing some neoclassical, some neoromantic elements. And, you know, of course, there's a great tradition of string quintets with a second viola. Did you have a specific musical inspiration for this ensemble?
Yeah, so there wasn't really any specific musical inspiration or guide I was looking to when I was composing this piece per se. The overall feel and the motion and the motive of this piece reminds me of a tiger beetle running.
So it's like the energy of it. I didn't necessarily hear instruments trying to imitate the sound of a beetle. That's really cool. So it's more about the movement and the speed.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. Can we go back to how your musical journey began?
I started taking piano lessons at age 5. And then my compositional journey started a few months after that. I would play my piano pieces I was working on just for fun in different keys with different articulations and dynamics. And sometimes I might play one hand in one key, one hand in another key, both with different articulations. And sometimes just for fun, I'd close my eyes as well. But I kind of eventually realized that I love doodling around and creating my own stuff with these pieces. Why don't I just create my own pieces to begin with? And that's kind of how my compositional journey began. And the very second piece I ever wrote was called The Cicada Named Feta. So I've really actually been writing about insects since the beginning.
Wow. Do you hear the music in your head before putting it on the page?
Often what will happen is I'll get certain ideas that will just pop into my head, and then I'll write them down, and at a later time, I'll then methodically expand on them. But these little musical nuggets, they can hit at any time.
Yeah. Is music a part of your family life?
Yeah, so music has kind of run in my family. So my mom used to tour, sing, and perform with her three sisters, and then her mom, my grandmother, was a jazz singer. And then her mom, my great-grandmother, was a church organist. And my sister also plays piano. And my dad said he plays the radio. So
nice. Do you have favorite styles or genres to listen to?
Yeah, totally. I love big orchestral pieces. It's my favorite instrument to write for, the orchestra is. But it's also my favorite genre of music to listen to, especially the gigantic late romantic symphonies of like Mahler and Bruckner. Those are some of my favorite pieces to listen to.
Have you written stuff at that scale?
I'm working on some of those pieces right now. I'm currently finishing up the fourth movement of a symphony that's kind of in that mold.
Nice. Winston, thank you so much for spending some time with me today and for sharing your creativity with us.
Thank you. It's really encouraging to be here, and I'm very grateful to all of you for giving me this opportunity.
Winston Schneider, 16 years old, from Omaha, Nebraska.
Hi, this is Gretchen Nielsen, Executive Director from The Top. I am so grateful to you, our audience, for keeping us going strong for 25 years. Now, let's hear from a listener.
Hi, from The Top. My name is Lily, and I listen to the podcast every week. I grew up playing the violin, and listening to the music and the stories of the incredible young musicians brings me so much joy. It's the best part of my Monday commute. Happy anniversary.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering visitors information about the arts, culture, and history of Boston. The journey begins at visitma.com. From the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, supporting books, radio, podcasts, film, television, theater, and more to bridge science and the humanities. And from the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, for nearly a century, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. More at mott.org.
Welcome back to From the Top, where outstanding young musicians come to play. I'm your host, pianist Peter Dugan. It's so great to be with all of you this week and every week, thanks to the generosity of Susan and Gerald Slavitt. From the Top is putting on a celebration worthy of our planet Earth today. We're listening to a fantastic array of contemporary music, including this next piece, which will be performed by 17-year-old harpist Viviana Alfaro, from Houston, California. Viviana, welcome to From the Top.
Hi, thank you.
What are you going to be performing today?
Memory of Trees by Gary Schocker.
Tell me a little bit about this piece and how you discovered it.
So originally, this was a piece written for Yolanda Konenassis for her album 5 Minutes for Earth, which was an album created to help raise donations and awareness for climate change. Her album, it follows a story of the beginning of the earth, and then the middle is when climate kind of changes and things start going wrong, and it ends in disaster, basically. It's a warning about the natural earth and what's yet to come for us.
Yeah, she commissioned a whole bunch of really major composers to write these short pieces, each of them about 5 minutes long, and compiled them into this album, which, from what I understand, you know, a portion of proceeds continuously go towards environmental